Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. The Biden administration rushing to solve the nationwide baby formula crisis. Also, the urgent manhunt for an escaped killer, a community warned tonight. And new signs of Putin's challenges. What happened to the Russians while trying to cross a key river in Ukraine? First tonight, the baby formula supply crisis. The FDA now reporting the supply of formula is stabilizing. But many families are asking, why then the empty shelves? Reports more than 40% of formula out of stock. What several major companies are now saying. Mary Bruce live at the White House tonight. That massive manhunt underway at this hour for an escaped killer in Texas. Authorities calling him, quote, very dangerous. The inmate allegedly slipping his restraints, breaking through the metal cage that protects the driver, stabbing the prison driver. The war in Ukraine, reports of new Russian losses tonight, pushed back while trying to cross that river in the east. Images tonight showing Russian pontoon bridges and more than 20 tanks and armored vehicles destroyed in panel in Ukraine. The pandemic tonight, the number of new COVID cases tripling in 6 weeks. 145,000 new infections in just the last 24 hours. Additional counties in the Northeast now at high risk tonight. What the Biden administration is now warning about not being prepared for what could be coming. The severe storm threat as we come on tonight, damaging winds and hail across several states. Then the record heat from Texas to the Northeast. Rob Marciano tracking it all. Is Elon Musk considering pulling out of his deal to buy Twitter? And what would it cost him if he walks away? His message today that made immediate news. The surprise appearance by the Queen amid those concerns over her health. Paying tribute tonight to a beloved actor. And so many of you responded. You can likely guess. Our Persons of the Week.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us as we near the end of another week together. And we begin tonight with the anxiety being felt by young parents, mothers across this country amid this nationwide shortage of baby formula. Tonight, the White House now taking steps to try to speed up supply, Congress demanding answers, and parents across the country going from store to store trying to find formula. The problem linked to supply chain issues and a massive recall by Abbott after four babies became sick with a rare bacterial infection. Two of them died. In many stores, parents finding empty shelves, price hikes, and now often limits on how much they can buy. Estimates tonight, some 40% of brands are now out of stock. This Abbott plant in Michigan has been shut down since February now after that voluntary recall. Tonight, they are awaiting FDA approval to start up again. And then once that green light is given, it's another 2 weeks before they're up and running. And parents who are already scrambling tonight asking, how long will this last? Here's our senior White House correspondent, Mary Bruce, leading us off tonight.
Tonight, the FDA insists the nation's stock of baby formula is, quote, stabilizing. But around the country, anxious parents are staring at empty shelves. As one of the nation's top manufacturers warns, shortages could last throughout the year. Moms like Jennifer Kersey of Cheshire, Connecticut, frustrated and confused.
All of a sudden, we go to buy formula, everything is gone.
At the White House today, President Biden tried to offer reassurances.
There's nothing more urgent we're working on than that right now, and I think we're going to be making some significant progress.
Roughly 40% of formula brands are now out of stock. Retailers like CVS and Walgreens limiting how much you can buy. In Nashville, Daria Grattan is struggling to find specialized formula for her daughter, Daisy Lynn, who has a milk allergy.
I have family in other states looking for me. I currently have about a month of inventory in my house, but after that, I don't know what we're going to do.
Valerie Farnsworth of Fresno says the search is exhausting and expensive.
Not only can we not find it, but when we do find it, there's always a 20% markup on it.
This crisis has been building for months. The cause, pandemic-related supply issues, and a massive recall of Abbott brand formula after it was linked to the death of two infants. Abbott now says they could restart production in 2 weeks once the FDA gives them the go-ahead and get formula back on shelves in another 6 to 8 weeks. But we're told the FDA is still investigating safety conditions at Abbott's facility. The White House now stepping in, giving families that rely on government assistance more flexibility to purchase any brands available, taking steps to import more formula, and cracking down on price gouging. Across the country, parents now leaning on each other. Alea Gaines connected with another mom on Facebook, Nadette Branch, who was happy to help.
When I was pregnant, people had given me boxes, like gift set boxes with formula in them. But I produce enough milk for my baby, and I really didn't have any use for it.
I quickly commented, and I was like, you know, can I please get this formula? And she was like, yes, of course. I just was so ecstatic.
Never surprising, mothers helping other mothers. Mary Bruce with us live from the White House tonight. And Mary, President Biden, we know, talked with two of the biggest manufacturers of baby formula in the last 24 hours, Gerber and Reckitt. We know they're ramping up production, but of course, bottom line tonight, do we have any clearer sense on when we can expect to see more formula on shelves?
Well, David, that is the real big question right now. We are told these two companies have ramped up production significantly by 50% and 30%. But when we've pressed the White House on when these shortages will end, how long this is going to last, they simply can't say. As hard as this is for parents to hear right now, there's just no firm answer on when this crisis is going to end. David.
We know you're going to stay on it. Mary Bruce tonight leading us off. Thank you, Mary. We are also following that urgent search for a convicted murderer who escaped from a transport bus in Leon County, Texas, between Dallas and Houston. The prisoner somehow slipping out of his restraints and then breaking through the cage that protects the prison driver, stabbing the driver before getting away. Some schools canceling classes. Residents warned to stay inside. Checkpoints have now been set up tonight. ABC's Maria Villarreal from Texas this evening.
Tonight, residents being told to stay indoors and lock their doors and vehicles as more than 300 officers from multiple agencies across Texas search for convicted murderer Gonzalo Artemio Lopez.
He killed a man in 2005 with a pickaxe.
Lopez was with 15 other prisoners in this white bus being taken to a medical appointment in Huntsville, Texas on Thursday when authorities say he somehow got free from his restraints and got through the wire cage protecting the driver.
When he got through that opening that he cut open, that's when he started struggling with the officer.
Stabbing the driver in the chest and hand with an unknown object, crashing the bus and escaping into a pasture. Authorities setting up checkpoints, schools in the area closing down.
The advice to the public right now is if at all possible, stay in your homes. And if you see this guy, do not engage him.
David, no word yet on whether there are any cameras on that bus, but there is a $15,000 reward being offered for any information leading to an arrest. And it is expected to hit close to 100 degrees here in Texas over the weekend. So law enforcement is hoping he will get desperate and easier to find. David.
All right. Maria Villarreal in Texas tonight. Maria, thank you. To the war in Ukraine tonight and new evidence of major Russian setbacks for Vladimir Putin. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin also speaking today with his Russian counterpart for the first time since before the invasion. What Secretary Austin said and those images tonight. The U.K. now confirming Ukrainian forces did block Russia from an attempted crossing at a key river in eastern Ukraine in the Donbass, destroying pontoon bridges being used by the Russians to cross. Several Russian military vehicles destroyed as well. And ABC senior foreign correspondent Ian Pannell from inside Ukraine again tonight.
Tonight, Vladimir Putin's war in Ukraine appearing to go awry. Britain's Ministry of Defense confirming Ukrainian claims that they repelled a Russian attempt to cross a key river in the east. Images show the Russians were trying to cross using two makeshift pontoon bridges that were totally destroyed. The charred remains of more than 20 tanks and armored vehicles nearby. And here in the northeast of the country, Putin's invasion is going backwards. A stiff Ukrainian counteroffensive forcing Russian troops to retreat back towards their own border. We were taken to a secret location inside Kharkiv. This speaks to quite how badly Putin's war is really going. A refrigerated train carriage with the terrible truth the Kremlin doesn't even want its own people to see. The scene inside was graphic.
This is a total house of horrors. There are 41 Russian soldiers, their bodies here wrapped in this thick black plastic. They're being kept inside this refrigerated train, but I have to tell you, the air is thick with the stench of decomposition.
We were shown the bodies and able to verify they were wearing Russian uniforms. Although some soldiers are returned to their families, Ukraine's security services accused the Russian military of listing soldiers that are being killed as missing.
You seem to be suggesting that they don't want the bodies because they don't want the truth to be shown.
Leto collects the bodies. He says, as far as I know, the Russians don't tell their people about the real losses here. There have been more than 30,000 messages and calls to the Ukrainians from Russian families trying to find their missing sons. These soldiers are waiting to be claimed. So far, no one's come forward. It's a sad indictment of a war Putin's men are struggling to win. And only adding to Russia's shame, the first war crimes trial of a Russian soldier accused of killing a 62-year-old civilian getting underway in Kyiv today.
Well, David, the US Defense Secretary speaking with his Russian counterpart. This is for the first time since the war broke out. Lloyd Austin urging an immediate ceasefire and, importantly, to try and keep those lines of communication open. David?
Ian Pannell with us all week long. Ian, thank you. Back here at home now into the pandemic, more than 145,000 new infections in just the past 24 hours. And take a look at this tonight, the community-level spread map. A growing number of counties in the Northeast now moving back into the high-risk level. Here's ABC's Whit Johnson tonight.
Tonight, new COVID cases in the U.S. tripling over the last 6 weeks. The country reporting more than 145,000 new infections in just 24 hours, the highest daily total since mid-February, with that growing number of counties in the Northeast now at high risk.
This pandemic is not over, and if we bring down our guard and not do the things we need to do, we can get ourselves into the same trouble we were several months ago.
The White House warning without more funding from Congress, Americans won't have access to the next generation of vaccines needed to fight newer variants.
We're going to run out of treatments. We're going to run out of testing. And so whatever infections we see this fall and winter, we're going to have to deal with that with none of these traditional tools with us. It's going to be a mess.
Health experts point to the risk of waning immunity, especially among people who haven't been boosted and who are more than a year out from their initial vaccine doses. It comes as a growing proportion of COVID deaths are from breakthrough infections.
There are vaccinated people who get infected, some of whom go on to severe disease and death. Those are very heavily weighted towards the elderly and those with underlying conditions.
But health experts insist vaccines dramatically reduce the risk of hospitalization and death. And while they're urging Americans to get their booster shots, half of those who are eligible, about 92 million people, still haven't gotten their first booster dose. David?
All right, Whit Johnson, we'll see you here this weekend, Whit. Thank you. Back here now, the severe weather threat, damaging wind and hail across several states from Wisconsin to Oklahoma, and then record heat from Texas to the Northeast, to Maine, in fact. Senior meteorologist Rob Marciano tracking it all tonight. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. 90 degrees in Caribou, Maine. That's a record. Back-to-back 90s in Green Bay, Wisconsin. A cold front bumping into the heat. We got severe weather tonight. It's a threat from Wisconsin all the way down through Oklahoma. Wind around those lows in the behind there. Another day of heat tomorrow. We'll get 80s, mid-90s in Dallas, and that front will bump up against that heat all the way into the Northeast. And I think as we wrap up the weekend, we'll see a severe weather threat from Little Rock, Arkansas, all the way up to Cleveland, Ohio. David?
All right, Rob Marciano. Thank you. In Jerusalem tonight, a dangerous scene at the start of the funeral procession for Palestinian-American journalist Shirlene Abu Akleh. She was shot and killed covering an Israeli raid in the West Bank. Mourners determined to carry her casket to the funeral service, beaten back by Israeli police. Here's ABC's Maggie Rulli now.
Tonight, the funeral procession for Palestinian-American journalist Shirlene Abu Akleh turning violent in East Jerusalem. Israeli police seen here attacking, kicking, beating mourners with batons, setting off flashbangs. Officers in riot gear pushing back the crowds waving Palestinian flags, even striking the pallbearers, causing them to almost drop the casket carrying Abu Akleh's body. This all happening outside of a hospital as thousands of mourners tried to move Abu Akleh, who is a Christian, to a nearby church. In a statement, Israeli police blaming outlaws for inciting the violent riots and throwing stones and objects at the policemen. Tonight, U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken saying in a statement, the department was deeply troubled to see the images of Israeli police intruding into her funeral procession. Abu Akleh, one of the most widely respected journalists known throughout the Middle East, shot in the head earlier this week while covering Israeli raids in Jenin for Al Jazeera. Disturbing video shows her lying on the ground in her press vest as a colleague calls for help. Al Jazeera is accusing Israeli forces of her murder. Witnesses claim there were no clashes or militants in the area where Abu Akleh was killed.
David, the Israeli military says its initial investigation showed that it's not possible to unequivocally determine which side killed Abu Akleh. But
Palestinian Authority says they want an international committee to investigate. David?
All right, Maggie Rooley tonight. Thank you, Maggie. Meantime, tonight, news on the WNBA star being held in Russia. Russian authorities have now extended Brittany Griner's detention another month. She was handcuffed during today's pretrial hearing in Moscow, keeping her head down. Griner accused of smuggling vape cartridges containing hashish oil into the country. She's been in custody nearly 3 months now. The U.S. State Department saying she's being wrongfully detained. Former U.S. Marine Paul Whelan also remains held in Russia, his family desperately pushing for his release, too. Well, tonight, Elon Musk appearing to momentarily put his $44 billion purchase of Twitter on hold, Musk pausing the deal to confirm a report showing spam and fake accounts make up less than 5% of Twitter's users. He wants to make sure that number is real and not larger. The stock dropping nearly 10% today. Musk later tweeting, still committed to acquisition. He will owe Twitter $1 billion if he cancels the deal. Queen Elizabeth making her first public appearance in weeks. She attended the Royal Windsor Horse Show today. She missed this week's opening of Parliament because of mobility issues. Until today, she hadn't been seen in public since March at the memorial for her husband, Prince Philip. She looked great today.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, tonight we have learned that actor Fred Ward has died, best known for his roles in The Right Stuff, Harold and June, and the cult classic Tremors. He was a former boxer, lumberjack, and served in the Air Force. Fred Ward was 79. And respected news veteran Richard Wald has died. He was a senior vice president of ABC News under then-president Rune Arledge, helping to create both 2020 and Nightline after leading NBC News for a time as well. He was the model for William Holden's character in the movie Network. Richard Wald was 92. Finally tonight, so many of you sent beautiful notes on social media after meeting the children last night, the orphans of COVID. 250,000 children in this country have lost a parent or primary caregiver in COVID. Their bravery, their strength, our persons of the week.
So many of you were moved by the stories of the children. AJ Arellano every day, 5:30 in the morning, at practice in honor of his dad, Alan.
Our father, who art in heaven.
9 months after losing his father, telling us what he does before every game.
You go to the sideline?
Yeah, right over there.
And what do you do?
Well, I say a little prayer, and I talk to my dad just like I would before every game. He'd give me a phone call, so I just act like I'm on the same phone call, and I just hear him talking back with me, and I know that he's watching me, so I know that I can play the game without any worries.
You still hear his voice?
Yeah, definitely.
We've now learned his final game is just 2 weeks away. He's about to become a senior, too.
So you got history?
Yeah.
Are you ready for history today?
I'm ready for history. It's going to be a great day today.
Awesome.
Take your pose.
There was Cornelia Jarosz on the Choctaw Reservation in Mississippi.
They're my mama and daddy, but they died.
The little girl who lost both parents and her aunt, Mylindy Bell, now raising her niece. Finishing the first grade on the honor roll. And now, another milestone.
They get to choose two dances and they dance in front of the whole community.
the first festival on the reservation since the pandemic started. There was Trey and Jenny Burrows raising their two younger sisters after losing their mother. Jenny telling me she always wears her mother's cross.
I don't feel right not wearing it. I've worn it every day since I got it from the hospital, so.
She was wearing that when she went to the hospital?
Yeah, yeah. This is the first thing that they handed to me. And ever since then, I've had it.
You saw we found Trey after his EMT test.
So how'd it go? Yeah, you passed the first one?
Yes, sir.
You feeling good?
Yeah.
All right. The smile says it all.
And tonight, now sending us this image. He passed all of his exams wearing his cap and gown. Walking across the stage at Palm Beach State College, now on his way to becoming a firefighter. And in Lyndhurst, New Jersey, Kylie and Colton Coney, who lost their father. Colton starting hockey to honor his father.
How were the pregame nerves?
A little nervous.
A little nervous?
All right.
Tonight, Colton telling us his team made it to the playoffs and he scored his first goal.
One, two, three, four.
And Kylie, who gave that speech in honor of all the children who've lost a parent.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kylie Coney.
She has now heard from other children who've lost parents too, inspired by Kylie's strength.
Going back to school was and still is the most challenging thing I ever had to conquer. This year, my brother decided to join hockey. We are slowly learning to find happiness in our lives again because that is what he would have wanted for us. Perhaps sharing can let other families know, let other children know that they are not alone. Thank you.
So moving. Our documentary, The Orphans of COVID, now streaming on Hulu. We hope you watch their full stories. They're truly incredible. Good night.